Hello, church. It's great to see you. Thank you very much for being a part of our gathering here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. We, as has been mentioned a couple times, want to say thank you to those who may be visiting with us, and we certainly want to thank those who may have been out of town for making their way back safely. It's great to have everybody here with us today. I was handed a note just a moment ago to keep in your prayer list Sister Dora Wright. Apparently she has gone back in the hospital. She had come out here last week and now she's back, I would assume, at Spring Hill Memorial. And so we want to remember her in our prayers. So please pray for Dora. Please pray for their family. Please pray for all of those who are on our prayer list. Again, we've had several who have been struggling with that recently. Yesterday, I was able to spend some time with our JYG, our tweens, with Justin, with Russell, and some couple other ladies, mamas that went with us. And I just want you to know that that was a great day. I appreciate that. But since we're saying thanks to Russell, I do want to personally thank him for what he's done with my children, for what he's done with your children, and what he's done for our youth. He's been a great complement to the great things that Justin and Ashley are doing with our youth. And so thank you very much, brother. We're going to miss you, but we certainly hope that everything goes well, and we all hope that your football team loses to ours. So, well, maybe there's one in here, I think, that might go for that. But nonetheless, we love you, and we'll miss you. But I do want to say that we finished up a series of sermons called Even Though. You know, even though we go through darkness, storms, midnights, all those things, we will still say that God is enough. We will still praise Him. So I wanted to follow that up with, like, moments in the Bible that are just wow moments. Our theme this year, as Theo even prayed in his beautiful prayer this morning, about more. We want more. More God, more Jesus, more church, more Bible, more good things in our lives. Well, when we want more, we're going to be amazed more. You see, when it comes to amazing moments in the Bible, the Bible's full of them. It is full of things that just make our mouths go open and say, wow. And so I want to ask you, when is the last time you've been amazed like that? When is the last time you can remember just, wow? You know, we just have that moment. And it might take you a minute to focus on that, but some moments that come to mind, usually when people have these type of moments in life, especially, and I've seen these, I've witnessed these as a person that participated in a wedding and also one who has done several weddings. You know, when the groom sees the bride for the very first time, that's a wow moment. It's amazing, men, that they can pretty themselves up and go through all that for us, isn't it? That is a wow moment that we don't forget, that we keep in our hearts. Or maybe it's the first time your wife told you that she was expecting. Or maybe it was the first time, wives, mamas, when you saw that test be positive or heard that positive moment. That is a wow moment, certainly. When someone does something that is amazing and it amazes you or does something for you, your children do something, wow-type moments. Maybe it's a sporting event. Maybe it's a place you go to in life like the Grand Canyon and you see God's handiwork and you look over it all and you just say, wow. Well, you see, that's the way we ought to live our lives with God every day. If I'm looking for God the way I should be looking for God, then I am going to find God. When I find God because I'm looking for Him, then I'm going to be amazed. You know, I've had people tell me before that partaking of the Lord's Supper, like Johnny just directed our minds so beautifully in, and we were served the Lord's Supper, and we do that each and every Lord's Day because on the first day of the week they broke bread, and we do it every first day of the week, but I've had people challenge me with that before and say that it would lose meaning. Folks, when I'm thinking about the awesome power of the cross, it will never, ever lose meaning. And it shouldn't. because it is a wow moment. We are amazed at the beauty of God. We are amazed at the beauty of Jesus Christ, of the beauty of the church. And we stand amazed and we stand wild, and we need to live our lives every day being amazed at God. Because why? Why is this important? Why would I think it important to speak a series of lessons on this? Because, quite frankly, I believe sometimes we lose that wow. Because we get caught up in routine so much that we forget how amazing it is to be here today. Life gets busy. Life gets serious. Life gets crazy. Whichever adjective you want to, adverb that you want to put in there, or adjective to describe the action part of your life, that's what we could do today, because we've all been there. And sometimes we forget that coming here on Sunday mornings is amazing. It's amazing to be together. It's amazing for me to, I can sometimes tell when the crowd is off because it's so quiet. I love to hear babies. I love to hear chatter. I love to hear those things. Why? Because God's people are here and we're harmonized and we're together, and that is a beautiful thing. And we have Bible teachers who work hard, and they get here and they prepare and they teach class. I spent my time with some young children in Outdoor Bible this morning, and we acted out stories with puppets, and it was crazy and it was funny and it was goofy. And it was everything, but it was a wow moment for me. And I'm glad I didn't miss it. I'm glad I was here. When I study the Word of God, Theo prayed that we as ministers, when we study, we will be able to grow closer to God, to see God, to be stronger in our faith. And what a blessing that is. It's a blessing to open up our Word and be able to see God come off of these pages. And if I haven't done that in a while, then quite frankly, I'm not being wowed like I should. To spend time in prayer, when we can pour our hearts out to a God, the God of creation, the God of universe, the God of everything we know in existence today, wants to have a relationship personally with you and me. And we can spend time in prayer with Him. There are a lot of different sections of Scripture we could go, but I'm going to take you to a place today that we've been once this year already. When I was talking about Jesus Christ, I used this lesson. But I wanted to go back here because it lays out tremendously some amazing things about our Savior, and it's found in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we can allow this passage to wow us today, but I am quite certain that it wowed or amazed those people in attendance when He said these words in that synagogue that morning. Let me tell you about what's going on in the life of Jesus here in Luke chapter 4. Jesus, of course, has been born of a virgin Mary. He has been raised by His mother Mary and His earthly father Joseph. He is raised to be a carpenter. He knows how to work with his hands. He knows how to work for a living. Around 12 years old, he is, as the custom was of his family, they brought him up in Jewish tradition. He is worshiping. He is away. They are there to worship. He separates himself from the group. He goes and he sits with the scholars in the temple and he amazes them. A few years later, about 18 years later, he decides that it is time for his ministry publicly to begin. And so he makes an appeal to John, the baptizer, to come and baptize him. John, of course, doesn't feel like he is worthy of that. So he says, I need to be baptized by you, Jesus insists, to fulfill all righteousness. And so John does that. is right after this that Jesus is led away for 40 days into the wilderness to have a one-on-one challenge match with the devil himself, with Satan himself. And Satan tempts him and tempts him and tempts him. But Jesus resists those temptations, fights it with Scripture, and he overcomes the devil on this occasion. That's not the last time he'll have to overcome the devil, but of course he does. He also, around this time, is in Cana of Galilee. And so he is with his mother Mary, who is in charge of a wedding feast, the reception at a wedding feast, and they run out of wine. And so Jesus' mother turns to him because she recognizes that Jesus can do all things, that he is a miracle worker. And so she says, "Hey, we ran out of wine." And Jesus asks, What has that concern to do with me? It's not time for me. It's not time for me to do this. But because he loves his mother, I'm confident of that, he goes ahead and he begins. He knows when he turns this water to wine, word will get out, people will talk, and so, therefore, it begins his public ministry. And we get right here to Luke chapter 4. And what I want to do with you as Jesus makes this known to the people is pick up in verse 14. "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth." This is where he grew up, right? He had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Is that coincidence? I think not. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" You need to listen now, because this is years, 700 years before Jesus Christ, Isaiah pens these words. Now, I want you, don't let that not wow you and amaze you, okay? Decades, centuries before Jesus Christ, Isaiah, through the power of the Holy Spirit, pens the words that Jesus opens up that scroll to and reads. Here they are. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, if we did not know better, we would say, okay, that's just Jesus talking about himself. But it wasn't. It was Isaiah talking about Jesus Christ 700 years before this. And so Jesus, in the synagogue, as his custom was, he gets there. They didn't think anything of it. This guy does this every week. He reads to us, and he reads this exact Scripture. "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" I got chill bumps again. You see, that is an amazing moment in Scripture. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, I want you to understand the power of this moment. In Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? That is the beginning of the Bible. God's plan is in motion. He creates birds, he creates trees, he creates grass, he creates stars, he creates sky. You know what all he creates. And on the sixth day he makes man, right? And when he creates man, And then He creates woman. He has created a being that is like Him. It is able to love. It is able to have a spirit. It is able to choose to love Him. But what does man do? Man chooses to be selfish. Man chooses to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Man chooses a life of sin. And so what does God do? He's already had this plan long before it happened, but it turns in time. His moment, His scheme of redemption goes into motion. And from the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a lot of time that passes, okay? Thousands of years of Old Testament wandering, because now God's got to make His people a holy nation so that He can bring a child, not through the tribe of Levi, through the tribe of Judah, so that it will change the law, it will change the priesthood, and He needs to make a new covenant. Not just for His people, but for all people. So thousands of years this takes place. Thousands of years, right? And then, after Malachi stops talking, he goes silent. For 400 years. Think about that now. 400 years, he goes completely silent. Malachi stops talking, and there is nothing from God. Until a child is born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds worship, and the wise men seek Him. And Herod tries to kill all the babies because a king is born, the king, the Messiah. But people kind of forget about it because He didn't come with pomp and circumstance and build a kingdom and set Israel back. And so they're just like, I don't know about this. And then Jesus comes into that synagogue and He's been in their presence because it's been His custom for 30 years. And He comes in that synagogue on that day and all the thousands of years and the 400 years of silent scriptures and all of that, Jesus stands up and He reads from Isaiah and He says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And He began His ministry. And those people who bore witness to Him marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? You see, amazing things happen on that day because Jesus came to fulfill the prophecy from the prophet Isaiah. And the same thing that Jesus came to fulfill that was written 700 years before Jesus Christ even came are the same things that He is still doing today and that He commands of us. And here those amazing things are. Number one, Jesus came to preach to the poor. Now I want you to understand that poor here, the Greek word for poor, it means lacking in anything. So could it be people lacking in money? Certainly. Did Jesus go to those who were lacking in money and preach to them? Absolutely He did. Do we need to go to those lacking in money and preach to them? Absolutely we should. Did Jesus go to those lacking in love? Certainly He did. Do you think Zacchaeus was loved very much? Do you think Matthew was loved very much? Do you think that the adulterous woman was loved very much? There are so many that we could go through that Jesus knew they were the leprous people that He healed. They were lacking in love. They were lacking in care. They were poor in these things, and Jesus went to them. Were there those lacking in health? You know He did. He healed so many to prove who He was. In fact, He did so much of this good. The Bible talks about Him going about doing good. He did so many things that if we were to compile it in a volume, the world couldn't contain it. It was so many great things. They were lacking in health. They were lacking in a full body of healthy life. And Jesus went to them. What about those lacking in forgiveness? Did He go to those lacking in forgiveness? You know He did. He said to that adulterous woman who was, they were ready to stone to death to prove a point. Jesus said, "Where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." He forgave her. The woman at the well who had had all the husbands and was living with a man. She was a Samaritan on top of all of that. Jews and Samaritans hated one another. He met her at the time. He knew she would come by herself and get water, because He wanted her to drink of His water from His well that would never run dry. You see, what Jesus Christ has called you and me to be, what God has called you and me to be, are ministers. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 3, "We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in need, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." In other words, Paul said, no matter what, we are ministers. And then Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may do what? Proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Both of these sections of Scripture remind us that we are here to do the same thing that Jesus did for us. Preach to the poor. Proclaim the name of God. You see, Jesus' ministry must be our ministry. We are here to minister. We are here to serve. We are not here to be served, just like Jesus wasn't here to be served. We are here to serve others. And when we do that, and it works in accordance to God's will, amazing moments, wow moments happen. But what else did Jesus say about His life? He said, secondly, He came to heal the brokenhearted. Again, it's amazing. Do you know anyone today that's broken? I would guess if we surveyed the entire congregation today, everybody that is sitting in these pews, we would come up with the conclusion that we all know somebody that's broken one way or the other. We just spent time talking about broken moments, even though moments, dark moments, stormy moments, moments of midnight. We know broken people. Psalm 147:3, Gabriel read to us a moment ago, said, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." You ever been brokenhearted? I've been brokenhearted. I know you've been brokenhearted. What do we need? We need somebody to just crush the broken pieces? No. We need somebody to take the broken pieces, pick them up, dust them off, mend them back, and help us heal. It's kind of like a child falling and hurting themselves. When a child falls and hurts themselves and cuts themselves, what does a mother do? A mother runs to them. They don't just sit there and let them scream and bleed. That mother runs to them. What else does that mother do? That mother touches them and comforts them. Then what does that mother do? That mother doctors their wound. And then mom makes sure before they do anything else that they are okay. Is that not Jesus to us? We were broken. We were a broken people and Jesus ran to us. Jesus reached out His hand and touched us and comforted us. Then He took our brokenness and He wiped it off and He cleaned it up and He put it back together and He made sure as we went out on our way that we weren't alone. And that's amazing. And it should wow us. And we should want to be able to tell others about this moment. Jesus came to fishermen who couldn't catch fish anymore, who were struggling. Maybe they didn't talk the way that a religious person should talk. Maybe they lived a rough life. He ran to them and made them disciples. He went to tax collector and people who had cheated people, people that they, the Pharisees described as worse than heathens, worse than Gentiles, worse than you could imagine were the tax collectors, the publicans, if you will. They hated them, they despised them, but Jesus ran to them and ate with them. The adulterers, those who had lost their way. You see, we have had the opportunity in our lives to be healed. But today, maybe there are still those who are broken. We have moments in our lives that need changing. So do others. We need to go from angry, awful, and anxious to amazed. Amazed by God. It's the same mission that Jesus had. To point the brokenhearted to the one who can heal them. Jesus came to preach freedom. That's what He said. That's what He fulfilled. Being enslaved is an awful thing, right? Every time we see enslavement throughout the Bible, throughout history, it's an awful, awful moment. Wars have been fought. Seas have been divided. All kinds of things have happened to get people away from slavery. Unfortunately, we're still enslaved. Sometimes by the devil. We're not free anymore. We're trapped. You remember the story of Legion. Legion in the Bible had, he was that many demons that was trapped inside that man. That man could not be tamed by anyone. He had been taken and he had ripped all his clothes off and he had been shackled up and he was so strong he had broken those shackles. And he was scraping at himself because he was so enslaved by the demons of our devil. But when he encountered Jesus Christ, a few words later, he was free. He was free. Today, we can feel trapped by demons. We can feel trapped by temptation. We can feel trapped by a lifestyle. We can feel trapped by misery. The man wanted Legion out. We've got to want him out too. We've got to want freedom. And we've got to be willing to go to the one who provides the way of escape. And then finally this morning, Jesus also came to open eyes. He came to heal those who were blinded. You know, in Scripture, this is one that Jesus did probably the most of that we have. He took blind people and He made them see. He didn't just give them a pair of reading glasses, did He? Say, good luck. He took whatever ailment they had, whatever type of blindness they had, and He did much more. What Jesus did is actually a multifaceted miracle of awesome proportions. All the parts of the eye had to function immediately. The brain had to be able to recognize what was being transmitted to the eyes. And all the systems had to be in go mode. For those blind people Christ healed, those who had vision and then lost it, the brain may have remembered images from the past. Whatever the physical reason for the blindness, Jesus miraculously corrected it. Today, we get blinded. It's not sometimes just, hey, open your eyes and look. Sometimes we go through things that may just keep us from seeing what we need to see. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we want to do it on our own, we want to be able to see the straight and narrow, but we keep going down the other path, the broad path. You see, when Jesus came to wow that crowd in that synagogue and they marveled, He also came and wowed us. Today, if we have physical blindness, nobody on this planet can lay their hands on you and make you whole. But spiritually, He can open every one of our eyes today. Today, are you poor? Are you lacking in something? Today, are you broken? Today, are you enslaved? Today, are you blind? Jesus came and made it His mission to heal all those that He could from those same ailments that we face spiritually today. Today, open your eyes. See the King. Obey His voice as together we stand and sing.